Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to a powerful encounter with the Word of God, brought to you by Eastwood Annabelle.
Second Peter, chapter 2, verse number 14. Peter said, these people have eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have, exercised with covetous practices. Then he said, cursed children. Some children are just cursed. You see the thing Jacob told Simeon and Levi. He said, cursed is their anger. Cursed is their anger. Because the anger will make you do crazy things. And he said, because of that, you are cursed. So you can imagine, people God has cursed, you are praying they should be healed. So I said, prophet, some of the people we pray for, they can never, you can pray 100 years, 200 years, nothing will change. They are cursed. You see? So he said, cursed children. He said, they have a heart that is exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children who have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. So people who are forsaking the right way and they've gone astray, they are cursed. You can't bless it. You cannot do anything about it. So there are some of the people, we will have to let them know that they are cursed. Somebody say, oh, but we are in the dispensation of grace. So if we are in the dispensation of grace, then all sins are forgiven. Grace should stop you from causing an offense. The same grace that you think should make you free from the consequences of your actions. Why don't you rather believe God for the grace not to commit the error? Now, so why do you think the grace didn't stop you from committing the error? But when you commit the error and finish, the grace will just erase the consequences of the error. Any grace that cannot stop you from sinning, that same grace cannot save you from the consequences of your actions. If you want, you get up right now, go and take a knife, stab yourself, blood will come out. Grace will not stop it. What grace will do is grace will stop you from stabbing yourself. But once you take the knife and stab yourself, the effect, you will reap it. And I have seen, you know, some of the prayers we are praying today, like Miriam and Korah and so on and so forth. And Numbers chapter 12, I think, and it's in the verse number 2. Verse number 1 and 2. And Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Somebody has gone to marry Ethiopian woman. It has nothing to do with you. And they started complaining about it. And the Bible said, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Now you are talking about his wife. The next minute, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Is that, has he not spoken by us also? Where do God can speak to us? God can speak to us. Why does one person think that he's the only one God speaks to? Me too, God can speak to through me. And the Bible said, and the Lord heard it. Moses didn't hear it. The Lord heard it. So even you and your wife, your gossip in your bedroom can bring you a curse. No, you said it. Nobody heard it apart from you and your wife and a curse. Pastor Mike, I'm saying this. I'm not scaring associate pastors. But the reason why in Ghana, in Africa, associate pastors cannot sustain a ministry is because they are accursed. They criticize so much that nothing they do will work. Give them any department, it will die. The reason it will die is that these are cursed children. And I'm not talking about only this church. Go to most churches. When the senior pastor travels, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, by the time he comes, attendance is down. Give them any department, discipleship, choir. Put anything in their hand. Because they are cursed children. You see, God knows what they do behind their senior pastors. They will gossip. They will undermine. They will say all kinds of things. Then the next day, you take the work this man has given to you, and you think it will work. For example, if Pastor Livingston is somebody who criticizes him, there's no way his Wednesday meeting will grow. Because it hasn't even grown. Look at the pride in him. And I'm choosing him because he's not proud. I can never say Pastor Livingston is proud. That's why I'm using him as an example. You can imagine, at his level, if he's criticizing me. Can you imagine if Prophet Livingston does a meeting here, and the anointing is so great that this place is full, this place is full, that place is full, that place is full. He will never respect me again. So God decides that there must be order in the house. Therefore, place a limit on associate pastors and their meeting. And their effect. So you do a meeting on Wednesday, Tuesday. Nobody will attend. Because the day you get to a certain level, even your senior pastor, if you are not careful, you will slap him. So I'm telling you people, we are dealing with a curse in the church. Not this church alone, but it's global. It's in our charismatic churches. You go to Methodist church, you go to Presby and all these Orthodox churches. Yes. The way they respect authority. Look at Fountain Gate. Assuming Fountain Gate is just a church and you have all these member churches and people normally complain the member churches are not growing, member churches are not growing. You go and hear what the pastors say about the chairman of Fountain Gate Church and about the IP, they insult everybody. So the fact that you are insulting everybody and you are standing in the church, God will not honor your ministry. And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Now, but the man Moses was the meekest man above all the men that were on the face of the earth. Well, I told you, when he mentioned my name, I knelt down. But when I knelt in my room and I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I didn't raise this topic because of me. That was my humility in my bedroom. So between me and God, God knows me very well. God knows me very, very well. So Moses was the meekest man above all the men that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. Come out, all the three of you. Come from the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came forth. And the Lord said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in vision, and I'll speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. This man is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why were you not afraid? Don't you fear? Are you not afraid that what you are saying can kill you? It can destroy your life. What you are saying? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed. And as soon as God departed, the cloud departed from the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now, let us assume that Miriam comes to your prayer camp at Porter City. Or Miriam runs here to Sombahar. What can I do about it? Nothing. Miriam has a curse on her life. You can't do anything. And today I'm speaking to somebody online. And the Lord inspired me to come and tell you that what you are dealing with is a spiritual curse. Nothing can save you except God himself. And the only way God can save you is if you can humble yourself and go to God and repent. And there are times some of the repentance, you have to go and do reparations and do restitutions. And then some of the judgment too will take their full length. If it has to be 10 years, it will take 10 years. If it has to be 20 years, it will take 20 years. Here is Miriam, and Miriam is walking in leprosy. You see, some of the things that bring the curse upon you, sometimes if you are not careful, you may not even know the day it started. Look at the situation where, in the case of Korah and Abiram, Korah and other people. Numbers 16, the verse number 12. And Moses sent and called Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. And they said, we will not come up. And they started accusing Moses of all kinds of things. Verse number 15. When Moses heard the things, he was very angry. Listen to me. When you see a man of God angry, and even speaking harshly to you, you can decide. You can decide either to be offended or to repent. Okay? You can choose one. But the last thing I think I want to advise you to take is to be offended. Because the person is not a madman. What did you do and they are rebuking you like that? Think about that. Moses was angry. So Moses was the meekest man on earth, but he was not the nicest person on earth. He wasn't the nicest man on earth at all. Although he was the meekest. Because meekest doesn't mean you are a nice person. He was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord, don't respect their offering. God can, a human being is telling God, Father, the offering of these rebellious people, don't accept it. And that's why I was telling you, if you are an associate pastor, you are not careful. The ministry you do will keep dying, because the man's prayer alone can kill your ministry. Because you see, your greatest offering is your ministry that you minister. The preaching you do, the song you sing, the whatever. And God is saying, reject it. No, a man is praying and say, God, reject it. So you'll be singing a song, nobody will listen. You'll be sitting behind an organ. You are playing the organ, but people are hearing the noise of earthquake. You are praying, the prayer is bouncing back because God said, I won't listen. God will not give you a certain favor. This is the man of God standing there saying, Lord, reject their offering. Then he said, I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. I am not taking anything from them. I have not hurt anybody. Their injuries are self-inflicted. And I have not taken anything from any of them. Yesterday I was home when a friend of mine called me from New Jersey. And then I called him back. And he said, Daddy, I want to send $1,000 so that they can use it to buy food and other things to take care of the widows in the church. As soon as I landed, and I said, Nicola, I have some $1,000 around here. Take the $1,000, add it to today's offering, and then let's use it to buy food for the widows. And I gave her the pastor's name, and I gave her the telephone number of the pastor. They should send him a message and thank him. But you see, he sent the money through my mobile money, my Momo. You know what? I could have sat on this one. I told mommy about the money. I came home today. Accountability. Even before I came in to preach, I surrendered the money. So, you know, people, I could have kept the $1,000 and said, I'm doing many things for the ministry already. So if I keep this $1,000, it doesn't matter. But no, I have to be accountable. The man didn't say use the money to replace what you have been spending on the church. He said use it and buy food for the needy. If I go and spend this money, I'll start getting constipation for the next 3 years. And I'll not know why I'm constipated. So Moses is saying, I have not taken one donkey from them. And I'm telling you people, when you are in a church where the pastor doesn't take salary or allowance, be very careful how you attack him. It's very likely the person has an agreement with God. There is a covenant and a certain agreement. You should be very, very careful. Especially if you receive salary, allowance, and things like that from the church. And the one who is standing there doing a lot of work doesn't receive anything. You should be very, very careful. There was a time some people were going to receive some money and misbehave around me and Pastor Mike. I told Pastor Mike, I said, give them the money. When they spend it, it will be turned into concrete in their stomach. Eh? The money turned to concrete too. I will not tell you the details. These men that are walking about and they say they are pastors, they are men of God. And some of you will say, oh, so-called men of God, charlatans, this and that. No, no, no. Me, I don't belong to your group. Oh. Because when I look at some of the things these men, God can use them to do, I'm even afraid. I'm like, hey, God, can you do this with human beings? And the human beings themselves are scared because they are humble enough to know it is not them, it is God. I want to advise you, Miriam and Aaron, they were Moses' brothers. Be careful, even if the people, those leaders, are your brother and they are your sister. Be very careful. Big brother or small brother, protocol is protocol. There is something called spiritual protocol. You cannot break it in the name of his my brother and my sister. One day, Michal, the wife of David, broke the protocol. David was dancing, dancing, dancing. Michal looked at him and said, look at the way this man has embarrassed himself. By the way he's dancing. The Bible said her womb was shut. She never had a child. So some of the cases of barrenness we are praying against and casting out and doing all night jailbreak, dungeon break and cave break. Nothing is going to happen. The woman is cursed. The man is cursed. Abimelech tried to take Abraham's wife. The women in his palace, everybody was barren. You know what? MRI, CAT scan, X-ray, blood test. All of them can tell you what is wrong with a person. But they can never tell you why the sickness is there. Even cancer, people don't know the cause. People don't tell you it's genetic, it's this and that. No, they don't know the cause. I pray that in all your Christian life, you will not go and catch something that you will regret. So here is Korah. Here is Abiram. They said, come. They said, we will not come. Verse 15. Moses was angry. Said, I have not heard one of them. And look at Moses again. Verse 28. And Moses said, hereby shall we know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them of my own mind. Hereby shall you know that God sent me to do what I'm doing. And I have not done them by my own mind. If these men died a common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent him. If these people died a normal death, or if they are visited with a visitation that is normal visitation, then God has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up and all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. So it's not human beings you are provoking. You are provoking God Israel. You see, the anger in that man of God or that woman of God is just a suggestion to you that God is angry. If you want, you can take it for granted. If you want, you can take it for granted. You know what? Character and behavior can bring a curse on the whole of desert pastures, to the point that this house we are sitting in one day can become a desolate house. And that's why, you know, let me tell you this, maybe it will help. It will shock you that one day, in the absence of me and this my wife, woman of God, will be dead and gone, and this place will be turned into a desolate land. Nobody's coming to church here. The glory has departed. The place has become Ichabod. Other churches are growing, and this place can become empty. And that's because the people who took over from you, their hands are cursed. And that is how you go to many countries and many nations, and the founders of churches and ministries, after they have departed, for everything they have is destroyed. And that's why, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? I am praying that these kind of things will not happen to us. I'm praying that these kind of things will not happen for us. I have seen churches. I pray that one day you will not receive a man's ministry on dirty hands. It will be like I'm saying, I want to give you a piece of bread, and you bring a tray to me to put the bread on, and the tray is a dirty tray. I'll give you an example. I have a friend who I knew, and this man, nice shirts I wear. I gave him one. The day I saw him in the shirt, I couldn't believe that is the same shirt I used to wear. The shirt looks very ugly. It looked bad, terrible. The shirt went into the hands of a careless man. In the same way, if you are not careful, one day people will look at desert pastures and they'll be like, is this brother Isu's desert pastures? Is it not the same Jesus? The same Holy Spirit is the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit. But the work is in the hands of a different person, or it's in the hands of different people. I'm just using desert pastures as an example. But I'm telling you, many of our charismatic churches, the kind of carelessness among the people and the lack of accountability and everything, whether these our works will go to the next generation or not, only God knows. Only God knows. Maybe it will go into the hands of successful people. Probably to go into the hands of wrong people. We have fathers, spiritual fathers, spiritual fathers and biological fathers who are busy building things. Some are building companies, some are building houses. They are doing all kinds of things. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 19. The first time I heard of this scripture was from Archbishop Duncan Williams, my father. He told me this. Ecclesiastes 2, let me start from verse 18. Ecclesiastes 2, 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I have taken under the sun. All my labor which I have taken under the sun, I hated it. Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So I'm going to leave Fountain Gate Chapel. I'm going to leave Action Cathedral, or I'm going to leave Lighthouse, I'm going to leave ICGC, I'm going to leave the Victory Bible Church. I'm going to leave it in the hands of somebody who will be after me, because by all means, I will die one day. And I'm going to leave it to somebody. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. I'm going to leave my business to somebody. Will he be a wise man or you'll be a fool? I don't know. Yet he shall have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Archbishop taught me this scripture first. So he said, Israel, we have to pray. Now, There are many associate pastors, prayer warriors, leaders in churches that have problems. Their marriages are not going well. And I know some of them are listening to me right now. Their marriages are not going well. Their finances are bad. They are blaming the church for not looking after them well. You see, you can decide in this life to blame everybody for whatever you are going through. I'm telling you, and I'm talking to pastors who think they are supermen. You can pray over every problem, the problem will be solved. And you are busy, ki-ka. Let me tell you this, people. Some of the people you are dealing with, like Peter and Jude call them, they are cursed children. You can't do anything. Listen, the person's contract has collapsed. You cannot revive it because that person themselves know what he used to do with that contract. They know. Some of them go to juju. Some of them go to voodoo. The other day I was talking to a lady who told me something. She said, Daddy, when we used to come to the church in Mintam, we close the church and one of us will lead us to Malams. Do you know the places some of these your members go to after the service? When you go to hospital for blood test, when they hit the needle into you, they'll see the blood flow and they'll tell you, we had the line. And the way you know they had the line is that you see the blood going through that tiny tube. It's the same thing with the anointing. When I put my hand on you, even if it's for 10 seconds, I can feel the virtue going out of you. There are some, you will touch the shoulder or the head or the neck, and you don't feel any virtue going through you. It means that there's a blockade, something inside the person, or something determined by God himself. He said, no anointing is flowing into this person. And normally, I don't spend even 2 seconds on you. I pass. So you can see I'm doing the meeting. I lay hands on some people. And I'm on for some time. Some others, I go, pack and I go away. Because I know that this thing, even if I stay here for 3 hours, ends the sacrifice. Because virtue is not flowing. And if the virtue is not leaving me, then the virtue is not entering the person. These are spiritual dynamics. You understand them because it's in the realm you will call the energema, the working of powers. And you can call it pneumaticals, spiritual things, and spiritual knowledge. Can I tell you this? That sickness, you will run with it and go from place to place. You can't be healed. You must go back and cure some foundations. You know what you did to that pastor before you left the church. You know it. Before you left the church, you know. You know what you did to your first wife. You know it. You nearly killed that woman. Now you have married another woman and you are believing God for a child. No, you won't get one. What the way you treated somebody's daughter or somebody's son, that is what you are reaping. You see, you sow a seed, you don't want to reap it in the name of grace. Grace should have prevented you from sowing that seed. But if grace did not stop you from sowing that seed, grace will not stop you from harvesting. If you want, you say because of grace, you went and planted cassava, and now you want to reap yam. And yet possible. The same book on grace said, whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And he didn't say this is Old Testament. New Testament. Your case is even worse because to him that knows to do right and does not do it, for him it is sin. You should know by now. You can't be criticizing and talking and behaving the way you behave. So there are a lot of barrenness cases. A woman dishonors the husband and she wants the same husband to impregnate her. It's not possible. And you know what they do sometimes? When they wait and wait and wait and the child is not coming, they go and sin. And give birth with another man and bring the child to the church for dedication. And the man doesn't even know that this child doesn't belong to him.
I believe you've been blessed by this message. For further information, please visit www.eastwoodanaba.com. God bless you richly.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 +2 3 3 2 6 7 6 7 6 0 5 5 +2 3 3 2 6 7 6 7 6 0 5 5 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.